My talk will cover from the very first time I ever met Franz until somewhere around about the 1980s. But it's curious, isn't it, how apparently insignificant episodes in one's life somehow stop and stay to illuminate your brain. It's very strange, that. And when I was thinking about the many, many times that I've been with Franz and spoken to him and had good times with him, there are three little incidents which somehow don't go away. And they're very trivial. They're not really to do with high-energy physics at all. But each one of them illustrates a particular facet of Hans's personality. And I'd like to share them with you. So this is quite different to the two talks you've heard before. The first of these occurred when I was a first-year undergraduate. Teaching laboratory, Franz Hayman on the demonstrator's desk. And in those days we had two practical books, one being marked and one with experiments being written up. And so these were changed over and over. And after each one that Franz quote marked was FFH at the end, in red ink, just a nice little FFH, no remarks whatsoever. Although I have to say, actually in helping us at the workbench, he was extremely good, but there's nothing in the books to indicate how one was doing. Anyway, at the end of the year, near the end of the year, we had to hand all our books in to be marked or get a mark or something. And then they were handed back, and in this particular case, they went in Franz's pigeonhole and came back, and we collected them. And I think this was a day or two before the end of the year. And the three books that I put in did not come back, only two came back. A quick poll around everybody else and the other pigeonhole showed that they hadn't been put in the wrong pigeonhole or anything. So off I went to Franz in his office. Now this is the thing that kind of illustrates one of the more endearing qualities of Franz, and that is he was just ever so slightly absent-minded, just a little. I went into his office and said what I was there for. He looked at me as though he'd never seen me. And mind you, I wasn't very memorable in those days, so, but it was clear that he hadn't, I hadn't impinged on his memory. And then even worse, when I asked him about the box he just marked and where was mine, he looked like this. He couldn't remember. He couldn't remember that he had the books. And so after a time, as always, Franz recovered and he said, "Oh, I'll look around." So I said, "Well, I hope I haven't lost out. You know, I have this." He said, "No." He said, "Come back tomorrow." And that's where tomorrow was the last day of the year. So I went away, very worried actually I was, went back to his office, and there he was, and exactly the same thing, I don't think he knew. anyway, that was it. That just illustrates one of the things of his personality, which actually became quite endearing. I mean, we all know it, we all knew it was a slightly, frail short-term memory. But it was always, Franz could always recover and, he'd smile and then it would be gone. So that was the first thing. But actually, just to finish that, several years later, Franz, we happened to be working in the old huts, and Franz had an office there, I believe. And I was in that office one day, and I was looking around the shelves, and underneath a pile of papers was something which looked seriously like my old practical book. And so I asked Franz what was in that book, and he turned it up and said, "God," he said, "this is somebody's practical book." That was mine. So anyway, that illustrates one of the qualities that I remember about Franz. Another one was Franz's ability, it's sort of been touched on now, his ability to always somehow provide a solution to a problem. And it doesn't have to be just physics problems. Things that cropped up, you know, just in normal life. He would always try and find a theory. If he didn't understand it, discussion in the common room, Franz would have some theory and be ready to put it into practice. Well, now we're moving on a little bit, but still in the huts, and I think Franz was in the huts as well, we used to go swimming in Yulu, the swimming pool. And they had a 3-metre platform. Many of you, of course, will have been there already after. The 3-metre platform was a kind of a hurdle one had to overcome. You sort of had to dive off that to be, you know, one of the lads. And we all managed to do it. And then, of course, the question arose, well, why shouldn't we do it backwards? At which point I decided to go to the changing rooms, probably. But anyway, it clearly stuck with Franz, and he maintained that if you held your body rigid like this, arms in the air, closed your eyes, and just fell backward as a rigid stick, then by the time you hit the water, you'd have turned, rotated enough to hit the water vertically. So he went away, must have thought about this, and the next time we all got there, we challenged him. We challenged him to do it. And he did. He went to the 3-metre platform board, he stood with his back to the water, arms in the air, closed his eyes, and just fell backward as a rigid stick. And sure enough, he hit the water exactly vertically. He must have calculated it. So that just illustrates that part of Franz's personality, which, you know, showed that he was interested in absolutely everything. It didn't matter what it was. It didn't have to be physics or everything. Now, the third little episode shows a very different part of Franz's personality. And the part of Franz's personality which perhaps many of you never saw. Now I'm getting into the 1980s, when we had a big bubble chamber operation going on. And unfortunately, some of our film analysis machines were situated underneath the Union Bar. Swedish Union Bar. It wasn't a very good idea in the first place, but we had no way of avoiding that. And sure enough, when we were in full flow, full analysis, some idiot in the student bar left a tap running into the slop bin. They had a big sort of dustbin, slop bin, with all stale beer. It overflowed all over the floor and through the ceiling onto our machines. And that could have been a disaster. I mean, luckily, you know, we were able to still work, but it was clearly not something that you could go on working under for very long. And so after several, must have been at least 4 or 5, letters to the bursar and discussions with him. In the end, I knew that it was never going to work. The bursar was never going to do anything. He was a nice guy, but he wasn't the sort of active guy that you might have wanted. And so I called Franz in, and he was the nominal head of the particle physics in the department. And Franz summoned the bursar over to the laboratory where this was happening, took the bursar and stood in under where beer was dripping. Not very much at that time, but it was dripping. And then took him aside and Franz unleashed on him a tirade, an angry tirade. Now, I'd never seen Franz in that mood before, but it was clear that he could, when necessity, really turn on this kind of authoritative, strong voice. Well, he scared the pants off me, I'll tell you. But that's nothing to what he did to the bursar. The bursar was trembling like a leaf. And within 2 days, they'd shut down the Union Bar, whether you remember. They shut it down, and the repairs got underway. So those are just three incidents. They're nothing to do with physics, really, or anything like that. But they're the three incidents which summarize some of the things which we loved about France. Perhaps not the last one, because most many people will not have seen that. But when I was in a position later on, towards the end of my time at UCL, I was in a position to see what previous heads of departments had been up to over the years. And I can tell you that Franz's record in that respect was absolutely outstanding. He quietly, perhaps people didn't know, but quietly, he defended the department so stoutly in times of sometimes extreme trouble. He was a really strong defender of the department. Well, I, like every one of you, I really regret Franz's passing. He was great fun to be with. He'd always got something original to say, and I think we all loved him. And I shall miss him, and I think everybody else will.